welcome to episode 100. Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. I've done this spiel 100 times.
No, it's a spiel.
Each week we will talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Lindsay, Robin, and Laura. We are beyond thrilled to be recording our 100th episode. In fact, I'm not even sure we would ever get here. When we started recording this back in 2014, we weren't sure how we'd keep coming up with new travel topics, but it turns out that new things are coming out all the time, and sometimes we just talk about something that we were going to talk about that we've talked about before. From exciting itineraries to world events to bucket list trips, there's always something to talk about. We thought it'd be fun to take a look back and remember some of the things that surprised us along the way. We'd love to hear from you, too, if there's anything we've talked about that surprised or inspired you. Let's get started. So we invited Heidi to be here today. And she declined. I think she's working. But she said, if she's learned nothing else, it's that travel is complicated and that you need an agent. And if you know Heidi, which none of you probably do, that's actually saying a lot, because Heidi was a diehard do-it-yourselfer. And it actually still is to some degree, but she has definitely learned the value that a travel agent can bring. Yeah, she appreciates it for sure. Because I think planning one trip and planning 100 trips is very different.
Yeah. Well, and she's also very, very well traveled. Mm-hmm. And so if it's like your first trip to Europe or something like that, you could really benefit from having a little bit of, because I didn't realize the plugs were different. You know, like there's little things that you just don't know if you haven't done it or someone's not there to tell you.
Well, yeah, you think every city in the world is just like Pittsburgh.
Yeah,
so
I could tie it in.
She just stole that from
me. I did. I stole your thunder. Boom. Boom. Although it is true, that is something that I've learned, is that every city can be compared to Pittsburgh. I didn't know that before.
There is some way.
Yeah.
You know, this is also the probably like the 100th time that Pittsburgh has been mentioned on this podcast.
I know. I really do need to contact their like, Chamber of Commerce and let them know that I'm working for.
We should be getting sponsored.
She's going to have a jacket that says Pittsburgh across the
street. I do have a jacket that says
I'm
Pittsburgh.
I'm sure you do.
Outlander Travel sent me to Pittsburgh.
Yes. And all I got was this stupid t-shirt.
So, you know, Sandy, every time you say it, all I think of are Waldorf and Statler. This, I'm so moved. I wish it would move me to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
So true.
Well, you know, I will put another little plug in. There's the Andy Warhol Museum is in Pittsburgh.
Oh, my gosh. Really? We're talking about our 100th episode.
Okay. So that might surprise you guys. I know that Heidi was surprised to learn why Three River Stadium was called Three River Stadium.
We're not talking about Pittsburgh
anymore.
Okay,
all right.
I was surprised to learn how much I drink on vacation. I had no idea that alcohol was so important in my vacations. I never really thought about it. So I've gone to
I didn't home. Either. And yeah. Now I'm starting to think, like, do I have a problem?
Well, you know, the first step is admitting it.
I think there's something about vacation.
That I do a much better job on my clients' vacations than.
Yeah.
Here, oh, here. Yeah, definitely.
We're like at the airport going, did anybody book a ride for us?
Yeah.
Who was in charge of the shuttle?
Yeah, and me and my Alani dinner reservations or that time that I forgot all of my Walt Disney World tickets at home and had to like get on a later flight because I didn't. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Great moments. I've also learned never let Sandy talk you into anything.
We are all walking advertising.
Can I just say that half of the people that went to our conference last week left their passports at home specifically so I wouldn't drag them to Tijuana?
Yep.
Yeah.
You're very smart.
I won't leave my house without my passport, and I would have had fun in Tijuana, I think.
If you remembered it.
Yeah.
Maybe.
If we didn't end up in Mexican prison or something.
Yeah, exactly.
In Mexican prison.
One thing that I have learned is that when someone tells you that they just want a simple room and they don't care about any other things, they don't usually mean it.
Yeah.
And it's not mean to be rude, but you tell someone tells you they just want a simple room. I found that I need to qualify my clients better. And I think much better job of that now than I used to.
Good point, because everybody will say, well, I'm not going to spend that much time in the room, but if you're going to spend all that money to fly down to the Caribbean, and you're going to want to, like, sit on your balcony and see water, you know? You don't want to look at a road or
and
something.
If you have a bad back and you have a crappy bed, you're not going to have a good vacation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just...
Well, there's the human nature. You want the thing that somebody else has too. So it's one thing for you to say you want a simple room, but then when you get there and you see all the awesome balcony rooms facing the ocean or with the infinity pools and all that, and you think, oh, I don't want that. Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
And you might think, when you get there. Oh, well, I don't need, you know, my refrigerator stocked in my room because it's all inclusive. But really? What if it's raining? Do you really want to, like, trudge out to the bar and get a beer to bring back to your room? No. Mm-hmm. You want it in your room.
Once again, drinking is important.
And sometimes you don't have the option to upgrade because the rooms might not be available. Mm-hmm. So upgrading when you book is your best bet to get the room you really want.
Yep. If you want it, go ahead and get it. Yeah, exactly. Lindsay, what were you going to say? You were trying to say.
I was going to say, I think that's an important distinction between price and value and how when people are first starting off and they're thinking about their trip and they might get so focused on that number that they're not thinking about the bigger value. And I think that's kind of an important part of our job to help people remind them, okay, what's important to you? Well, with this, you'll get this, and with this, you won't. And it might not be anything that they would think about until they're there and they're like, yeah, I should have spent that extra $200 or whatever dollars, and I would have enjoyed this a whole lot more.
I still do that, and I do it with airfare a lot. Like, I was looking for airfare to the Bahamas, and, you know, there's a direct flight out of Charlotte. And so I was thinking, oh, I could just book the direct flight out of Charlotte and it's only 2.5 hour drive. But then I'm like, well, then I kind of would have to go the night before and get a hotel. Or you have a 5 hour drive when you count either end. And then I'm like, or I could leave from Raleigh and just fly to Charlotte and connect, you know? Yeah. So, you know, it wasn't even, I think it was less than $100 more, you know? And when you consider 5 hours of your time, possibly a hotel, your gas, you know, all that stuff, you still got to park at the airport. So, yeah.
There's... You know, you just did that again. You booked a flight from San Diego. Back to Raleigh, but you went through San Francisco for like $100 less.
I don't think it was
And you
less.
Got back an hour. Yeah.
I can't remember why I did it, but it was.
I'm pretty sure it was less because I remember looking at it as well. And then
I think I was. I don't remember what my thinking was, but I feel like.
This is why we all need travel.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I would never do that to my clients. I would always give you the best advice.
Yeah, I would never. Yeah. I would. The next trip that I'm taking is insane. The amount of flights I'm taking, I would never, ever, ever put that in front of anybody or suggest it for anybody else. But I'm like, no, I'm going to do it. I'm going to save that $400.
And then you can tell them why it wasn't worth it.
I'm going to have to do a podcast about the amount of hours Lindsay spent on airplanes and in airports over a 3-day period.
Yeah, we could rate all the airports in the country. If you can distinguish between them now and they're not all blurred together. Sometimes I'll get off a plane and I'll be like, I was just here.
I'm going to put that on my business card. I travel poorly so you don't have to.
I actually kind of like that.
Oh, I love that.
That could work.
And sometimes, what's the thing they have in Jamaica?
Club Mobe.
Club Mobe. I convinced some clients to do it because I had heard great things about it, and they came back and they said, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Because it was, they said, paid extra for the trip. It was the best decision.
Yeah, so the nice thing about that, and so I've been to Jamaica twice, and I've gotten lucky with customs. I've kind of gotten there with good timing. But I talked to somebody on my last trip who got there about 15 minutes after me, and the line was so backed up because I came from the southwest side and everybody else was on the, like, all the other flights were on the other side. And she had Club Mobe, and they stood there at the end of the hall with her name on a placard, and then they made everybody else step aside. So she said people were giving her the stink eye.
Oh, I did that when I went to Jamaica, and somebody actually said, well, excuse me, la-di-da. And I was like, la-di-da.
Yeah.
I got the guy with the sign.
Yeah. And then... You know, and what someone else mentioned to me, because we didn't do it on the way there. We did it on our departure, and it was totally awesome. But, you know, you think, oh, well, like if you're staying at Sandals, they have their own lounge. But they don't really have a lot of food in there. So if you did Club Mobe, you'd get the customs line, and then you could go drop your luggage off at Sandals. You might have a 2-hour ride to your resort, you know. So run over to Club Mobe, get some food, go back, you know, and then, you know, you can have drinks. They have beer and stuff at the Sandals.
I just checked in at the Sandals one. So the main reason I used it for my arrival was to get through customs quickly. Mm-hmm. And I got to tell you, I would have lucked out too. I wouldn't have been in line terribly long, but I was in line less because I had the guy with the sign. Yeah. So there probably would have been 5 people in front of me. I mean, it wasn't too bad, but I do know other people who, again, it's luck of the draw, and you can get it sort of as a package deal. So you can do just arriving, just departing, or mm-hmm. both. And departure is like a no brainer because that's where you got to get there a couple hours early. You've just come out from an all inclusive resort where you were mm-hmm. spoiled to death. You don't want to sit in an airport and pay $8 for a hot dog.
They're so loud, too. Airports are so bright and loud. And when you're in a club.
Dirty. Yeah. It doesn't matter how nice they are. I always feel like everything's covered in gum or something.
Yeah.
Can I sit here? Do I have to wipe this down?
Robin and I were just actually, we just had that conversation coming back from San Diego because we were in the United Lounge at Denver.
I was in the one in San Francisco.
And you know, we were up there and it was wonderful. The Wi-Fi was strong because not as many people are on it and the football game was on. And then as we descended the elevator to get back into the gates, it's like the noise just goes.
And the fluorescent lights come out at you.
Yeah, it was back to reality with the masses.
Right.
I think the things that you guys are talking about is, as kind of the newest agent on board, is one of the things I've learned. Is all the, you know, as a member of what was, you know, kind of the non-educated public about the behind the scenes of travel, of all the ways that travel agents can ask you questions that will make your life easier, and that the deals that you're going to see on, you know, cheapcaribbean.com or, you know, Expedia or whatever, all the deals you see have holes in them.
Right.
It's like the Swiss cheese of travel.
Right.
You know, it's
I like that.
You know, like I told you I was talking to a gentleman who was here working on my cable today, and I said, so how are you guys getting from the airport to your honey lunch? And like, he's like, we hadn't even thought about that. You know, so it's like, I said, have you checked out whether, you know, there's a shuttle, or it'd be better for you to run good inns with, you know, Enterprise and National, and I could get you guys a really nice big vehicle. And he said, oh, you know, I didn't even think about that. I said, it's worth looking at comparing the prices. What's mm-hmm. going to be your best option? Well, those are things I've learned from you guys, are the behind, is the, you know, is like the United Air Club and the Mobe. It's, you know, these little pieces that travel agents can really help take what would have been an ordinary frustrating trip and add in these little pieces where it's all of a sudden like you're breathing so much. Like even before you get there, the vacation's already begun because you're breathing so much easier.
Yeah.
You know,
that's, you know what Lindsay just said about, I travel poorly, so you don't have to. I think we've all made mistakes that, and we've made them and we laugh about it because we should know better. But like the rental car thing, I can't tell you how many people said, oh, well, we're fine with a compact because that's what we drive at home. Okay. Yeah. First of all, your family of 4 might drive a compact, but you probably don't. You probably drive a small car, but it's probably not a compact. Second,
and you probably don't take everything you own.
Exactly. You don't have everybody's luggage and everybody's teddy bears and everybody's and all your souvenirs. And that's, I honestly have done that where it's like, oh, well, we just need a simple car because we're just, you know, we're not going to be in it that much. But you got to get from the airport to your hotel.
Yeah.
And that is a huge challenge. And I've had to upgrade. And let me tell it is a lot less expensive to upgrade when you book than it is to upgrade when you get there. That is totally, people think when I get to the hotel, I'll upgrade and they'll give me a good deal. Yeah, no. Mm-mm. You're getting the same deal or worse than you would have gotten had you just bought that room to begin with.
Yeah.
When I went for the educational training that I did down to in Dallas, one of the things that I wish I had done was spend the $14 more a day to get the club level.
Yeah.
Because I was there for a workshop, even though I was traveling for business, but the club level served breakfast every morning.
Yeah.
had drinks and snacks at dinner time at night. And, you know, just going down to the restaurant costs $20 for breakfast in the morning.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's
worth
like
it.
That price. So that's what I'm saying about those behind the scenes things.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of people don't think about that. You don't think ahead of time, what am I going to want to do with my time? And that's a lot of, I know you guys probably do this too, where you mentally walk through a client's trip. Mm-hmm. You close your eyes and you go through every step of, okay, they're going to go here, they're going to want this. If I was them, what would I want? What do they like to do? You know, and think about all those details. Like you were talking to that gentleman about the shuttle. How is he going to get there? What is he, how long is it going to take to get there? Are they going to be tired when they get there? Are they going to want an easy check-in or something? You know, all those little pieces, that's what we're here for, to kind of hold together.
And well, you know, and a segue from that is, and it's one of the first things I thought about when I heard her doing this, is that people's imagination about what they want in a vacation is only as big as their frame of reference. So it's like, you see club level, but you really don't know what it is. I had no idea what a Christmas market was. You know, I had no idea why a river cruise was different than a regular cruise. You know, it's like your frame of reference is only as big as where you, what you can, you know, your imagination is only as big as your own frame of reference. And I think it's one of the things that, you know, in the very short time that I've been doing this, when all of a sudden it's like, I had these empty buckets and now I have overflowing swimming pools of information. You know, it's like all these things that I have no idea about.
Yeah, I agree.
So it's one of the things that I think that it's like the longer I've been a travel agent, the more I recognize the incredible value of, you know, someone who lives, eats, and breathes about the exact thing you want to do. Mm-hmm. And knows all these little pieces. You know, it can be something as simple as that club level, where if you were on that club level with children, you know, and you had two teenage kids and you were traveling and you knew that they could kind of snack all day and they didn't have to say, could I have this? Could I have that? I'm hungry. I want this. I want that. It's a huge value.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's a huge value to what we can bring. So
one other great thing that this podcast has taught me, I love that we have guests on, because I feel like I learned so much from you guys and I learned so much from guests and, you know, about so many destinations that I haven't been to yet. And until the podcast on Malta, it wasn't even on my radar.
Yeah, exactly.
That now it's on the top of my list. It's in the top 10 places.
Yeah. Well, and I agree with you. I think that, you know, and that's when we started this, I mean, the whole thought was, why don't we basically record our staff meetings, you know, we'll just record because, you know, we need to get together and chat about the last trip that Lindsay took or the last trip that Robin took or the last trip that Laura took. We need to chat about that and figure out, you know, what did you learn? What can you share with us? Mm-hmm. Because none of us can know everything about everything, but by working together as a team, we at least know who to ask. And we know a lot more. And there's one here in the notes that, we all learned from, Amy, I think, about, sometimes you need a visa.
Oh.
To do a short excursion.
Yeah, that she was the inspiration for that.
Yeah. So surprised her for sure. So, and you know, she fixed it, but there's little things that we learn along the way that you wouldn't, you know, you would actually make that mistake before you would learn it. We've already made that mistake or in this case, almost made that mistake.
Yeah, we found out.
So,
or like, you know, for example, if you've had a DWI and you might have problems getting into Canada, you know, that was a surprise to me.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, you hear about people with child support issues, and I know the easy thing to say is, well, pay your child support, but there might be other extenuating circumstances, but that can stop you from leaving the country. Mm-hmm. You know, that can affect you getting a passport.
If you are convicted of anything, there are certain countries that won't let you in.
Yeah.
Not that we as travel agents often ask that question, but sometimes when we know, like if we know you're going to Canada, we'll usually say, hey, incidentally, if you've ever had a DUI, you may have trouble getting in, do with that information as you wish. And then, you know. And also needing a passport to extend past your date of travel. I have somebody going to Italy next month and her passport expires in February and she's going in October and she needs to renew now, yesterday, last week is when she started the renewal process. Yeah. She didn't know when she was booking the trip that she would need to do that.
Yeah.
That surprises every single one of my clients. I tell that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not a common thing. And I really feel for a lot of people who end up, because a lot of people must end up in that situation where they didn't use a travel agent.
She was a great client. It was a 20-day trip. It's entirely possible through three countries. It's entirely possible she could have planned that whole trip herself without a travel agent. I mean, let's just get down to brass tacks, because I know that there are people out there who are still like, I can do it. I can do it.
Yeah.
I am 95% confident that she would have flown to Europe with that passport and had trouble And it would have, yeah, it would have never, because she might have planned the exact same trip that I did for her. Exactly the same, possibly, probably not, but, and then she would have not been able to get into Italy.
And this industry is ever changing and expanding and growing, and regulations are changing and requirements are changing constantly. And if you are not in the loop on that information on a daily basis, like we are, because we have to be, it's, there are certain things that can slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
Or know where to look for it.
Yeah. Or even know where to look for it. Exactly. Cause it's not common.
Yeah. And it's hard for us to stay on top of. It's not like it's easy for us either. It's not like we have some magic button. We have to make a conscious effort to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no Staples button.
Yeah.
I think Laura has.
Yeah.
Well, you know, along with things that are ever changing is for me, the paradigm shift, you know. You hear cruises, and a lot of people are like, I do not want to be with a bunch of old people on a ship. You know, well, you know what? The whole paradigm of cruises is changing, you know, and the industry is changing. You know, you hear tours, and you think, oh, I don't want to go to the Pennsylvania Dutch country and, you know, eat my way through chicken dumplings. Well, you know, the whole the tour industry is now going into non-traditional areas and, yep. And doing things like, you know, making maple syrup and taking Vermont sled rides. The cruise industry is, there's a whole cruise line based around people being able to give back and to serve and to change lives as they cruise. So I think along with the things that are ever changing, if you get people get in their head, this is what this industry looks like. Your travel agent can really help you think about, you know, what else there is out for you that might shift your way of thinking about that. So
I have a question for everyone to segue right off of that. What is something that you've learned about since you've been doing this that, that you now want to do? I know, Lindsay, you mentioned Malta, but something that was never on your radar before that now you're like, oh, I've got to do that.
Christmas markets.
Yeah. Nice.
It just sounds like a winter wonderland with a warm wine.
I want to go to the Seychelles.
The Seychelles?
Oh, nice.
I want to go to Iceland.
Yeah, that's on my list now,
too. Yeah, I want to go to Iceland. So, and we haven't talked about that yet, but we might soon, actually. I have a client going, so.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Awesome. I want to do, like, a Southeast Asia river cruise. I think that would be awesome. Yeah. Like, Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
Cambodia.
So amazing. Yeah, Cambodia.
Mm-hmm. And one other thing that I learned. And always buy trip insurance if you can.
Oh, yeah.
And know that the trip insurance that you buy through the companies that we sell can be different than third-party trip insurance. They might include different things. They might not give everything back in money. They might do 50% cash back, you know, your money back, and then 50% in a credit for a future trip.
And sometimes even more than that in a credit. Sometimes there's no cash at all. Mm-hmm. So that's not always a bad thing. It depends on, you know, what your needs are. I mean, if you know that you're going to take that trip one day, that might be just fine for you. And it's a little bit easier to file sometimes the third party. That's the one thing I found is that there's a lot less paperwork when you buy from the provider, from the supplier than, we'll just, as an example, we'll use Disney. If you purchase the insurance through Disney, there's a lot less paperwork. It's a lot easier to do a claim than it is if you were to purchase through a third party supplier.
And if you're of an age, not of our ages, but like, say you're retired and you're traveling, that the price goes up based on age for third party. So sometimes the supplier insurance can be a lot better too.
Yeah. And sometimes the provider insurance doesn't go up if the supplier insurance is the same price, fixed price, no matter how much the cost of your vacation,
which is
a nice plus, because that's not true with third party. And it's not even true with all, you know, some suppliers, it does vary depending on the value of your trip. Yeah, I agree with you, Robin. I think that's probably the one thing that the travel industry has taught me and taught me very quickly. And I was like so many other people. I've never bought travel protection before. Why should I buy it now?
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, the only way to answer that is you'll know when you know.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you need it, you know.
And I get a lot of people who tell me that they think that their credit card covers them.
Yes.
So the only thing I really say is call them and make sure. Exactly. Maybe it does. You know, I mean, I don't really know. You don't know. call them and make sure. Yep. You want to make sure you're protected. If it has the level that you think is what you need, then that's fine. But
and incidentally, I just had this. I sold a trip to Mexico to two families. They're traveling together, and they both have insurance with their credit cards. Mm-hmm. And I sent them the quote for the third party insurance, and they wanted to check their credit cards. One head of household checked their credit card. The other one hadn't checked hers yet, and it was deadline time. It was time to buy the insurance. And it was interesting because she said, well, I called the credit card company and they have this, 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 and this. And I said, you know, the only thing that I hear off the top of my head that's missing from that list that the third party offers is actual medical coverage. So they had medical evac coverage, but they didn't have actual medical. I said, maybe it's there and you just didn't say it. But that's actually, if you're going to Mexico, a lot of those hospitals want money up front.
Yep.
So that's kind of just make sure that it has it. And she went back and looked at my quote and she was like, you know, and I can tell you exactly, the policy for her family was $158.
Yeah.
She was like, you know what? Just buy the policy. I'll be double insured. And the other woman said the same thing. She's like, I don't even care what my credit card covers. I'll be double insured at that price, you know, for the value of the trip. Because it was two families of five, so the children were all being insured for free. So it was really only...
And then there was that story a couple months ago about the boy on a cruise who got appendicitis in Mexico. He had to get off the ship in Mexico and have surgery in the ship, you know. I mean, come on. Imagine that bill. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Crazy. Another thing that that I've learned that I think is really important for cruising is to get there a day early.
Not fly in
the day of your cruise. Yeah.
We're not just saying that because we want to sell you a hotel room. Promise. Oh.
Well, even today, you know, we're on all these networking boards and stuff, and there was someone today whose clients were blocked in by fog or storms or something in Philadelphia and were afraid they were going to miss their ship, you know, and that is not a feeling you want.
I'm actually taking a cruise in November. I've just got a two-night. I'm going to be on the Harmony of the Seas for so we'll be talking about it for the naming ceremony. And I get back from Paris the day before, so I can't fly the night before. And I am already, it's 2 months away, and I am already freaked out about it. I'm just confident I'm going to miss this plane. It would be terrible. It would be really terrible. Especially since I'm going with a friend who's on, you know, coming from a totally different city. So she'll be like, see ya. Have a good time.
No, I'm sure you'll make it.
I hope so. Surely thanks. Thanks for that reassurance.
I'm sure you
will. But if not, I can add to my car just like Lindsay's doing.
Yeah.
I travel poorly, so you don't have to.
You know, I think another thing that I've learned is the valuable commodity of time. Mm-hmm. You know, and how people don't realize how much time they spend trying to plan a trip themselves. And it's like, it's layered. It's like they spend so much time doing it and they're missing so many of the little things that travel agents know about.
Yeah.
You know, the guy I was telling you about today, he said, oh my God, you have no idea how much time we spent trying to find the best airline rates. He said, I was coming home every day from work, checking in. And I said, wouldn't it have been nice to have all those hours back? No. And he said, you have no idea. And I said, that's what travel agents do for you, you know? So I think it's that commodity of time, you know, it's for the folks that we're serving. Oh, I've just got too much time in my life. And all I want to do is sit around and look for the best rates. You know, everyone wishes they had more time.
Checking airline rates and dumping your cookies on your computer every 5 minutes for 6 days straight looking for that perfect flight.
Incidentally, we don't really do either. I mean, some travel agents might. I don't.
I don't either.
You know, I generally know if a price is good or not, and I will sometimes say, oh, that's way out of line. I'm not sure I would pay that. But there's a range, and sometimes you just got to say, I'm okay with that.
That's what I say, too. I feel like you know what you might, what kind of the range you want to spend, and if you see it, get it. And then don't look at it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Unless you're flying Southwest, and then you can get a credit. But,
unless you're flying Southwest, then you have to check it because then you can end up with lots of credits back that pay for your next trip. So
And I'll go ahead and talk about Heidi since she's not here and she'll hear this and she can edit it out if I'm inaccurate. But you know, there was at one point she sent me a private message saying, I just got my rail tickets and she was going from little town to little town in Europe and they were $5 and I was excited for her. I was amazed that she found that. I have no idea how long it took her to find that, but I know that she was like watching for it. She knew that it was going to happen. And that sort of thing is just like, that's all consuming. And if you have time to do that, she was very proud of it. And rightfully so. I mean, $5 rail fare is fantastic. But it's okay. You know, it's sometimes not worth the stress to get that. You know, if you're really going to nitpick every little detail of that vacation, then it may not actually be as fun for you in the end. Some people, that is, they get great joy from that. And probably more joy from that than they do from
traveling. I think that is the way her brain works. You know, like even if when you see how she packs and stuff, you know, it's like making it useful. Yeah, I'm in awe actually. Yeah. But I have found a lot of people nowadays just get overwhelmed with the information and they just want you to tell them.
I can't falter for that because I did get a tremendous sense of joy when I found my combination flights to equal $200 from Seattle to Nassau. So I will tell you, like, that is, I want to make a little plaque and put it somewhere because I don't think I'm ever going to find air for myself. Right. Or anybody
else.
You
say that now, but when you have six stops in between, you're going to be like, what have I done?
One stop.
Okay.
One stop.
Okay. I get that a lot too. You know, the other fare would have been $200 more. And as they're doing, you had one where you paid like $200 coming back from Jamaica, right? I'm pointing at Sandy.
Oh, I can't remember what the price difference was. It was a couple $100 and I had an 8-hour layover in Miami. And then there was a storm and they left all our luggage out on the tarmac while they took cover. And then we had like another hour or two layover. I mean, it was, and that was one of those times that if I wasn't going to upgrade the flight, I should have bought the club pass for the airline. Because I kind of walked around the airport for 8 hours. It was awful. Or I should have left the airport.
Well, you know, had big dreams of leaving the airport. I mean, I think that's what your original plan was.
It was. And I couldn't get through customs quick enough to get to the appointment I was trying to get to. And so I just stayed at the airport and yeah, it wasn't good. I mean, luckily it was just me. I didn't have my kids drug along with me, you know, so that wasn't that bad, but I mean, and that makes it harder too, because if you multiply a couple hundred by a family of four or five, you know, I see why people do it. I understand, but yeah.
That's when you find a semi-quiet corner and you work on lots of work or read a really good book.
Yeah.
If you can find a semi-quiet corner. I mean, Miami Airport is not a place where it's really easy to find a semi-quiet corner or even a...
That's where you need the club.
The club pass would have been nice.
Yeah. And I think that's an important thing is, you know, money up front versus money when you're there, you'd be surprised how much you spend making yourself comfortable because you didn't spend enough to begin with.
The Pittsburgh airport has a gym. You can like
she
take showers.
Oh,
wow.
Oh, my God.
It's really nice.
The San Francisco airport has a yoga room.
Oh, really?
Yes. I see that. Yes, it does.
Can you buy a club pass for a day?
Yes, you can.
Not with all the airlines, but most of them you can.
United would have been.
The airport has a little massage section right out by the seats by your gate. So.
The Cancun airport has these little fish tanks you can put your feet in, and the fish eat the dead skin off your feet.
I know. I'm curious to do that too. What airport was that? Cancun.
Maybe I'll do it.
Like I think they call it a spa.
I want to hear all about that, Robin.
Robin, you might want to look in the Iberostar too.
In fact, Robin, I think you should take me with so I can. Videotape before.
Right, you're staying at the Barcella or are you staying at the Iberostar? Barcella, right?
Iberostar.
You should check their spa because there were several that I toured in Cancun that had little fish pedicure things.
Okay.
It's really weird looking. And I imagine I put my feet in and then just go.
I don't want to look. I know.
Do it.
I might freak out, but I thought it would look that. It was one of those things I've always wanted to do.
You should.
What are you going to do if it hurts?
It doesn't hurt.
It's like little kisses. I would imagine. I didn't
on
do
your
it.
Feet.
Piranha
kisses. Kisses with big teeth. No, I don't think they actually have teeth. It's the same way they clean off other fish or whatever. They're just scraping with their little fishy gums.
Yeah.
Right?
Can you imagine if you had really ticklish feet?
We're completely skeeving out, Laura. This is fun.
Never go to Canada.
Oh, no.
I can show you where it is in the airport if you go with me.
Yeah, you don't have to stick your feet in the... Laura's not down with it. But Sandy will convince you to do it. That's what I'm telling you.
Well, I didn't do it, but...
She has a new victim now, Laura. She hasn't convinced you to do anything ridiculous yet, so you're next.
Good luck with that.
You're next. Okay, well, this has definitely been very fun, and we are so excited that we've been with you for 100 episodes. I can't promise we're going to do 100 more.
We need to insert some nice music right here.
We don't have any like copyright, except for our podcast theme, which we own, written by the amazing Eric Sugg. of Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, we should be thanking
them. Member of Demon Eye, the fantastic metal band that has absolutely nothing to do with this.
We've done 100 podcasts and you're always having a cocktail, so maybe it could be 100 bottles of beer on the wall.
No. No, 99 bottles of beer. Nobody's ever going to listen to us again. Tune in next week for New York City. Okay, well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any of the previous 99 episodes. Leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com, then click podcast at the top of the page. Find the episode you wish to comment on, or you can like us at Facebook. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast, or just search for Fly Away. You can also email us at info. Why can I not say this? I've only said it 100 times. Or email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would truly love to hear from you. On behalf of Sandy, Lindsay, Robin, Laura, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.